New leadership is coming to the Council of Inspectors General in the federal government. The chair of that organization serves a two-year term, and the new leader takes over January 1st. Brian Miller of Navigant is former Inspector General at the General Services Administration, and he brought the council's new leader to the studio to introduce him officially.
I wanted to congratulate Michael Horowitz. He was elected chair of the Council of Inspectors General for Integrity and Efficiency. And congratulations, Michael. That's quite a post and quite an accomplishment.
Thank you very much, Brian. Thank you, Francis. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming, General Horowitz. What is the role of the SIGI? What do they do? How do they collect the inspectors general and direct their efforts as a team? And what's your vision for leadership of that organization?
Well, the organization SIGI was created, that's the acronym, created by statute in the IG Act. Its role is to play a coordinating function across all the entire IG community, all 72 federal IGs, has a variety of functions, variety of roles, primarily involved in coordinating joint reviews, reviews across the community, education, very important, training academy that SIGI runs, does a lot of training for the IG community, pushes forward on issues of importance to the Inspector General community, and there are many of those out there today. So a lot of different functions, a lot of different roles for it.
Is it fair to compare it to the Chief Information Officers Council or some of the other councils that exist for CXOs?
It's similar to that mm-hmm. kind of a role in a coordinating council type of function. We obviously have 72 independently appointed inspectors general, whether appointed through their agency or appointed, nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate. Mm-hmm. We all come together. There's, you might guess, a large variety of views in a community of that size.
Brian, when you were at GSA and you were a member of SIGI, what were some of the ways that you used it to help your work and that you contributed to it to help the work of other IGs, your colleagues at other agencies?
Well, I was the liaison to the Council for Chief Acquisition Officers. I also participated in various committees, the Investigation Committee, the Professional Development Committee, and tried to contribute in various ways, you know, met with IGs to support them when they faced issues. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of interesting issues that face not just one IG, but many. And recently, the Council for Inspectors General for Integrity and Efficiency, the SIGI, Michael, you'll have to come up with a better acronym than SIGI.
That's Congress came up with that in the statute.
Yeah, you could, okay, I think okay. You might be stuck with that one, Brian.
Unfortunately. So there are a lot of issues that face many IGs, mm-hmm. and SIGI does act on some of those issues. Recently, they produced a report on cloud computing, which if you want to talk about that, you could describe what it is, Michael.
Right. So one of the things the SIGI coordinated, organized, was a review among several IGs on the government's effort at cloud computing within their agency, obviously an issue that almost every single federal agency is dealing with, and did a joint review, compiled it together, and SIGI put it out recently in a joint effort. We've done that on improper payments, mm-hmm. Similar type of effort across the community. So those are the kinds of things that cross-cut across throughout the community that we need to understand what each other are doing, make sure we're all doing the same thing to the extent you can make sure it's apples to apples. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very important role for on the audit side, on the inspections, evaluation side, on the investigation side, really mm-hmm. multiple avenues like that.
What is your goal for your term as leader of this organization? You will be the president for how long?
It's a two-year term
okay.
by statute,
mm-hmm.
January through December of the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, in part, it's issues that arise as you go along, but and that come up and you don't necessarily foresee. But there are several important issues pending before the community. One is played out in a public way is the Integrity Committee, how IGs investigate themselves. That's mm-hmm. a very important issue, an issue that we need to address and think about. Data matching. That was in the bipartisan reform bill that did not get through Congress this session, but supported by both Chairman Cummings and Ranking Member Chairman Issa and Ranking Member Cummings, that would have permitted IGs to more easily match data across agencies so we could look at issues like that. That's a very important issue. Access issues continue to be very important. It was one of the IGs who signed the letter along with 46 others about access issues. I'm expecting that will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what happens with the budget, sequestration could come back again. And it was a significant issue 2 years ago for those of us in the IG community who were impacted by it, and I was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously looms next year. So there are many issues that could be before us.
The access issue is particularly interesting to me. I had your colleague, General Zinsser from the Commerce Department on, who was a signatory on that letter, as you were. And I wonder, one of the things I asked him, and I'm curious to hear your response, is how do you know that things are improving? Is it a black or white issue? Either you get access to the information that you want or not, or is there some in between where you can say, well, this isn't what we'd like it to be, but it's better than it was when we first wrote that letter?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. In our case, it's been an issue of whether we are legally entitled to get access to grand jury Title III wiretap information and Fair Credit Reporting Act information.
Mm-hmm.
That's a straight been presented to us as a yes or no.
Yeah.
But separately, it's timely access to information. Are we getting things within a reasonable time period, or is it taking months?
Mm-hmm.
That's less black and white. That's
right.
More of the gray. And on that, I think each of us as IGs have a sense of that, of how we're coming up against those issues within our agency, and in my case, across dozens of components within the Justice Department, some of whom are more readily giving us prompt access than others.
Mm-hmm. Brian, that timely access issue can vary, I imagine, from agency to agency. What was timely for you at GSA might not work for Michael. And maybe it's even case to case, where in one case a certain period of time is acceptable and in another case it's not. Is that fair
to say?
That's
precisely right. It depends on case to case, agency to agency. Some agencies have a bigger bureaucracy to work through, more databases to go through to make sure they have produced all of the documents. But it sometimes just depends on how organized they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a manager thinks that their employees have looked for documents, and in fact, they really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we come in, we find the documents, and the manager has egg on her face or his face.
Yeah.
And so it depends on a lot of things. And in the case, too, sometimes it's urgent to get the information. The illustration I use on access is slowing in a car down. You know, you can smash it in and stop it, or you can just not give a gas.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's sputtering, you know, it's not getting enough information.
Right.
And if it's stalled out, it's not getting any information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to measure that.
Uh-huh. It's a kind of a, I guess feel maybe isn't the right word, but it's an instinct that you have through experience, I imagine.
Well, it is, and it depends on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different facts. We often get information from other sources. We had a situation where we had a very important letter that was given to us from a third party. And it belonged to GSA, clearly in their records, and they were not producing it. But we had it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, no, we gave you all the documents. And in fact, they hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we brought it up to the managers. I personally met with the administrator and I had a good meeting with the administrator to resolve it.
Brian Miller of Navigants here, along with the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, Michael Horowitz. What kind of structure, Michael, will you have in place help-wise as you lead SIGI through the next 2 years, as far as other associates that will be helping you with that work?
Well, there's a vice chair of SIGI, which I will be appointing. There is a professional staff there that works full-time on behalf of SIGI. We have staff here in D.C. and at the training academy down at FLETC in Georgia. So
mm-hmm.
there's permanent staff, and there's also detailed staff. IGs across the community have helped out by detailing staff, and of course, I'll be calling on some of my folks at the Department of Justice Inspector General's office to help out and help staff it as well.
That's Michael Horowitz, Inspector General at the Department of Justice. Brian Miller, Managing Director at Navigant, former IG at the General Services Administration, joined the conversation. My guests in the executive suite today. Our conversation continues in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. The new leader of the Council of Inspectors General in the federal government is Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General at the Department of Justice. Brian Miller, the former IG of the General Services Administration, joined us to talk about the work of the council and of Michael Horowitz's office. Mr. Horowitz served in the leadership and management side of Justice before he became the IG there, and he says that gives him an edge in doing his job.
Well, I think it's been very helpful to me. I think it's an experience that is useful in an agency, certainly like the Justice Department, which is largely a law enforcement organization. It's got a large variety of components, but the overwhelming majority is on the law enforcement side. And it helps also to have been a prosecutor as an AUSA in the U.S. Attorney's Office, Southern District of New York, doing public corruption cases. So I've seen and understand and appreciate what it's like to go to a courtroom, present evidence to 12 ordinary citizens who are the jurors, the judge, but also having seen how the department was managed when I was in the criminal division at the highest levels, what the various law enforcement agencies are thinking and doing, having been there before. And that insight, I think, helps me appreciate, understand how they go about their jobs, how to respect what they're doing at the same time, looking into what they're doing when we have to do that.
Brian, the equivalent, I guess, would be if at some point in time you'd been the head of the Federal Acquisition Service or Public Building Service or something like that. You must envy that advantage that Michael must have to have that intimate knowledge of the agency when he goes in as IG.
I think it would be both a blessing and a curse.
Why is that?
You know, obviously, it would be helpful because you understand how they operate and the various issues they're weighing and what they're trying to accomplish. It may be a curse because you might feel a little too close. You might be tempted not to have the objectivity. I could see it being both good and bad. But I think the common experience that Michael and I have is that of being a federal prosecutor. And I think that gives you a sense of perspective. You know, as Michael was saying, trying to convince 12 of your peers, it gives you a sense of, well, is this really a federal case or not? And it gives you a sense of judgment. And I think particularly as former manager, that gives Michael a great sense of judgment, which is key to being an inspector general.
Yeah, I know. I think that's critical. I think it was certainly a reasonable question asked of me when I was nominated in my confirmation hearing about whether I was too close, having been in the department before. But I will say, walking into the department, I had Fast and Furious sitting on my plate, and it was very helpful to have been a prosecutor, to have worked with law enforcement, as I was talking to staff at the OIG, who was had been handling that matter for over a year before I arrived, and understand and get up to speed quickly on what was going on.
Yeah. When you walk into a case like that that is so high profile and so politically charged, how do you manage your staff so that they can stay focused on the facts of the case and the information they're trying to collect instead of hearing all of this white noise that's going on outside the building?
Yeah. That's a great question, and I think it's very important to make sure the staff and myself, but particularly the staff, knows that I'm focused on the facts and the evidence. I want to know, what did the records show? What does the testimony show? Much like when we were prosecutors, we know we're going into court. The jury's going to hear the evidence. That's it. None of the noise that's around it, but what do the facts show? Follow the records, follow the evidence, whether it's emails or testimony. That's where, frankly, my training and background helped the most in many respects, was knowing that I had to go in and keep the team focused on only the evidence, not all the issues being fought outside, if you will, the courtroom. That's all for external noise. We've got to focus on the records.
The issues around that case are well known. There's no need to go into that. But the relationships issue, I think, is especially pertinent in a case like that, because you're looking for information from people that you know from your time. I imagine justice is like other agencies where you have folks that are very devoted, very committed to the mission of the agency. They go and work at those agencies and stay for a long period of time. So you were dealing in some cases, I'm sure, with familiar faces, with folks that you knew from your tenure there on the other side. Short of just relying on everybody's professionalism and the fact that you know this is a job that I have to do as well as I know that this is you have a job that you have to do. How do you manage those kinds of relationships where there is maybe a personal connection or has been in the past, and yet in a very delicate situation that can't be allowed to intrude on either you or your counterpart doing his or her job?
Well, in the first instance, it's the staff that's doing the collecting of evidence. So I'm not involved in questioning any of the witnesses, whether I knew them or not.
Right.
That's for the staff to do. They took testimony. They did the evidence gathering. So I was removed from that and wasn't personally opposite people in that kind of a situation. That's the first thing. And then second, it's, as I said, sitting in a room with the team, which is what I did, going through the evidence as a group and talking about what are they seeing, what am I seeing, and coming to an understanding amongst all of us so that it's not just me that's making decisions and sort of a send it to the main justice headquarters and I'll look at it and I'll make my decision, but really trying to work cooperatively with the team.
Michael Horowitz is the Inspector General at the Justice Department. Brian Miller of Navigant joining me. And Brian, when you were the IG at GSA, you handled a few high-profile cases of your own. How do you manage that that issue that Michael just talked about, which is you have folks who are hearing about their own work in news outlets and maybe at some point in time coming to you and saying, I'm having a little bit of a hard time figuring out which direction to go in or how to stay focused on what I'm doing and ignore all of this other stuff and all of those issues?
Well, it's a very difficult job being an inspector general, working for an office of inspector general. And fortunately, we have great people who can stay focused. You know, the training of special agents help them to stay focused and not to to listen and be affected by news outlets. And that's also a reason why we don't talk about pending ongoing cases. And you know, they focus on the facts and what can be proved in court. What do the documents say? And what does this particular witness say?
What do we not understand, those of us on the outside looking in, about what's going on in the middle of one of those high-profile cases? And maybe it doesn't even get talked about after the case is made public or resolved or whatever the end result is. But what are the things that maybe even people like me who pay attention to this stuff don't understand the way that we should about what's going on inside the cauldron, I guess is the word to use?
Well, there are many, many different issues that pop up, and they have to be resolved. And we have to anticipate issues, particularly as inspectors general. We have to anticipate what the Congress will want in terms of oversight, what documents they'll be asking for. We have to pay attention to making the criminal case, if there is one, or making an administrative case or a civil case. And you know, if it's an audit, we have to pay attention to, you know, did we follow all the right procedures? Are we being fair to the agency? Did we properly represent their perspective? That sort of thing. And so it's a ton of different smaller issues, and a lot of them is a lot of those issues involve anticipating what will happen after it becomes public.
It's damage control is not exactly the right word, but I guess, and maybe in some cases it is, Michael. I don't know.
You know, it's to pick up Brian's point. It's first of all, from my standpoint, getting the evidence and personally going through it so that I can actually talk with the staff about it. In a case like that, you can't do it in every case,
sure.
But certainly in ones like that where you know you're going to testify. In my instance, you're going to need to understand that. but it's making sure that when your report goes out, the public at large, because that's who we work for and that's who we're speaking to, the public at large picks up that report, reads it, and comes away hopefully convinced that we've done our job. But we have dug and put in there the evidence we found that touches all the issues they would expect us to do. We've analyzed it thoroughly, and we've given them our best judgment on what we think the result of that fact gathering is.
And it's easy to understand why there are some cases where an IG, when we want to talk to them, will say we're going to let that report stand on its own, right? Because there are some of the cases that you and I have talked about in your experience at GSA, Brian, and something like Fast and Furious, right, where no matter what you do and no matter how you explain it, there's going to be some cohort of people that's just not going to be satisfied with the result. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. And what we thought, and I talked about with the staff and they agreed, was this had to be not only the report of what occurred, but a historical record of what occurred, mm-hmm, given the importance of this issue. Yeah. So it is a 470-page report for that reason, yeah, in part, to lay out every single issue, go into it, and explain it to the public what we found. I often said, and I said this at the, I believe I said this at the hearing, there should be no dispute about what the facts are, and that's what we've got to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
There may be dispute on the conclusions,
yep,
but the facts need to be laid out thoroughly. The public needs to understand and see them and be able to determine for themselves whether to agree with us or not.
Just a minute or so left, and I thank you very much for your time today, Michael. When you put a product like that out, whether it's controversial or non-controversial, and it's the result of hours and hours and hours, months and months and months, yeah, of work on the part of your team, what's the personal feeling like that? Are you happy that it's out? Are you relieved? Are you proud of it? What goes through your mind there?
All of the above. You exhale, and the next day you think about all of the things that you mentioned. But I think for everybody on that report from our office, they should be, and I think they were, extraordinarily proud of the work they did, particularly when they saw the reaction, generally the acceptance of the report, the recognition that it was thoroughly done, well-reasoned, well-written. That's what everybody on my staff talks about, thinks about. They understand the mission. That's the important thing, is that when the public gets it, they appreciate the hard work.